I am sorry to say, I was unable to give myself the Christmas present I so badly wanted, a winter moose to fill my freezer. It's certainly not the end of the world. I still have some caribou from fall, so I won't starve. Those who know me are probably thinking that even without the caribou, I'm in no danger of starving, and they'd be right. I will say I had a grand time hunting moose this December, and very much enjoyed the time that I was able to spend hunting with friends. And who knows, if winter comes back in full force, it's not out of the question that moose hunting in 17A is still a possibility. Also, I did have one chance in the last couple of hours on the last day. I was able to hike to within range of a small bull that did in fact present me with a makeable shot for a few precious seconds. My crosshairs were on his chest, but I decided not to take the shot. With a less than perfect shot, there was a chance that he'd covered the distance to a spot from which recovery would have either been very, very difficult or maybe even impossible. While I felt very comfortable with the shot distance, I've hunted moose enough to know that even perfect shots don't always end with perfect results. As such, I opted to watch him walk, holding to the hope that winter will come together enough to allow winter caribou hunting before all is said and done. To shoot or not to shoot is something of a matter of ethics, and I'm not going to lecture anybody about what constitutes a good shot or a bad shot. That is a matter to be determined on a hunter-by-hunter basis, according to individual skill level and experience. However, some hunting decisions involve not only ethics but legality as well, and that is something I'm going to touch on today. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Before we get into the specific legal issue I mentioned, let's touch on moose in general first, and a bit more specifically, moose on Togiak Refuge and around southwest Alaska. For starters, moose are just incredibly important to our lifestyle, aren't they? It's a pretty safe bet that more people than not, hearing this episode, depend on or prefer moose as a part of their annual diet, and for some of us it's a pretty significant part. For many people, it's probably darn near impossible to remember a time when that wouldn't have been true. However, moose are, on a geological scale, fairly new to southwest Alaska, and within an even shorter time frame, really pretty new specifically to the refuge. By the way, as I'm getting started, I'd like to give a shout-out to Andy Aderman, Togiak Refuge's moose expert. Much of the information I'm about to share today, I got from Andy. So, why do we think that moose are fairly new? Well, for one thing, there was an extremely exhaustive archaeological investigation done of Old Togiak Village. This site was inhabited for about 700 years. Hundreds of animal bones were found and identified, to include marine mammals, caribou, small mammals, you name it. But there wasn't a single fragment of anything to do with the moose found, which is curious in that moose have really durable antlers and bones, much more so than many other species that were found. So, either there were no moose in the area, or folks back then were really, really bad at moose hunting. Need more proof? In the 1800s, Russian explorers put together thorough expeditions to our area. They kept very complete journals of what they did and saw. There was not one recorded instance of anything to do with a moose. At the very end of the 1800s, a fellow working for the U.S. government conducted a survey to document natural resources. Again, no moose. In fact, the first mention of moose to the area in written records happened in the early parts of the last century, and those from areas east of present-day Dillingham. So while we might get all hot and bothered about a resource we've supposedly always used, the fact is we haven't, because moose haven't always been here. I share that because it makes it all the more amazing for the amount of moose we have now, doesn't it? This leads me to the next point I'd like to make, which is that the moose we do now have that have seemingly been here for forever are actually amongst the largest, healthiest moose in the world. Why do I say that? Because studies conducted to take a look at that very thing have determined it to be fact. A few years back, a study was done, and a pretty wide-scale comprehensive one at that, that studied 15 different moose populations around our state, including the one on Togiak Refuge. I won't go into any great detail about the report, but some of the findings included the following. Cow moose on Togiak Refuge give birth for the first time, on average, a year earlier than in any other population. Not only do they start sooner, their twinning rate, the frequency with which they begin producing two instead of one calf, begins sooner and happens with greater frequency. For some populations, cows don't have twins until they reach 5 years of age. Togiak refuge cows, on the other hand, begin producing twins at age 2. What this spells out is that our moose are in great shape, because a cow has to be in better physical condition to have and raise twins than to raise a single calf. At the risk of sounding like a late-night infomercial, but wait, there's more. The health of the calves produced is also better at Togiak than anywhere else. Weights of 10-month-old calves were available for 6 of the study areas. These weights range from 342 pounds to 470 pounds, which was the average of Togiak's 10-month-old calves. In fact, Togiak's 10-month-old calves were 20 pounds heavier on average than the second place number, and well over 100 pounds more than some of the other populations. One factor that is certainly contributing to our moose being in such great shape is that the stuff they choose to eat, in particular diamond willow, is extremely high in the proteins they need to achieve such health, and, more than that, it maintains what's available to moose a lot longer into the growing season. The result of that is that, after a point, most moose populations are no longer putting on weight but simply maintaining or even losing based on what's available in what they eat. The moose around here are able to continue to put on weight for longer, which means they head into the winter months in better shape. So, to summarize to this point, moose are, relatively speaking, fairly new to southwest Alaska and to the Togiak Refuge area. Even so, the moose we have are very, very healthy when compared to other populations around the state. The healthiest, actually, if we go by the numbers. That's all good news, right? Absolutely. Especially for those of us who enjoy hunting and eating moose, which happens to be very, very common around the area. That brings us to another component of this, hunting and management. Moose populations are often managed through the hunting of only bulls. In a general sense, if you want a population of ungulates, such as moose, to increase, you leave the females alone. If you want to bring the population down, you harvest the females. Two examples of the latter. The Nushagak Peninsula caribou herd is too large, so we encourage the shooting of cow caribou. Also, the moose population of Game Management Unit 17A is larger than managers would like, so there are cow moose tags available, though there is a quota. And once the quota is reached, the season on cows will shut off. So shooting females can and does happen. However, for most places that have a moose season, it's a bull-only party. And in some places, due to the amount of hunting pressure, there are even more restrictions in place. For residents of 17C, we have been fortunate to have an any bull hunt, which means just that. We can shoot bulls of all sizes. This is helpful in a couple of ways. First, it broadens the pool for what we can find and harvest. Also, it removes the danger of harvesting something we shouldn't through poor size identification skills in the field during a decision-making moment. So for Game Management Unit 17C, which is where I'd like to take this episode as it winds down, let's establish the following. We can harvest bulls, but not cows. Now let's talk a little bit about why that is. Let's consider what healthy cows, which our area has, add to the population of an area through not harvesting them. A healthy cow has something like as many as 15 reproductive years, which means she can produce something like 15 calves during her life. She'll occasionally have twins, a much higher likelihood around here as we've already established, which means it could be something more like over 20 calves in her lifetime. Not all of them will survive. Stuff happens, such as bad winters, no seriously, large predators, and simple bad luck. However, if just half of her calves survive, that one cow adds over 10 more moose to the population. And it's an exponential sort of thing in a big hurry, because her calves that are cows will start producing in short order themselves. Which ultimately leads me back to what I mentioned in the introduction of this episode. Something not just unethical, but illegal as well. Sometime after dark, on the 30th of last month, or possibly in the darkness of the morning hours of the 31st, a moose was shot very close to Snake Lake Road north of Dillingham. The moose was almost certainly shot after dark, which is illegal. How do I know this? Because I exited the same trail it was brought out on well after sunset on the 30th, and began my hunting trip at the same spot the next day, well before sunrise. Blood on the ground in many places pointed to the fact that something had been shot. Later on the 31st, towards evening, I came across the wildlife trooper and asked him about it. He confirmed a moose had been killed, and also that it was a cow, which is illegal for 17C. Furthermore, the cow had been carrying twins. So whoever shot the cow took out not just one but three moose in the short term, and who knows how many moose over the long haul. This was, in my opinion, a callous, premeditated act by someone with no regard for the health of our local moose herd. Accidents happen. Shooting a cow moose, and one with twins, after dark, is not an accident. No, it's breaking the law, plain and simple. I don't know or haven't heard if they found who did this, but I hope they do. Joe, that's the wildlife trooper, told me once that there are a handful of cows that are shot purposefully each season, and those are just the ones he finds out about, so the number is likely higher. Shooting cows for 17C is detrimental to the population. If it wasn't, we'd have a cow quota, like in 17A. If you hear about anyone shooting cows, now or in the future, I'd urge you to give Joe a call. He can be found at the Dillingham Trooper office. Do your part to help keep the local moose herd healthy. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.